Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us, friends. No matter if you are the horn, or you're on the horn, or you're on the harp, or the song or the writer, singer or the writer, you, no matter what the role, you're a leader in that role, and you have a purpose in that, Lord. Our goals here are simple: to inspire and equip all to lead what they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with His calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is Q? It's how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated, broken people in building a way of life and essentially building a wall around ancient Jerusalem. He see you eat them up. Q, C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why we've come together. And U is to unify thought. What vision can we share? It's the what. And E is equally yoked. What is the game plan? What's success look like? And what's my role and your role in that, and how we're going to go about this together? So Q Leadership integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as the model and helping you do two things. One, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you in discipleship. So as we always do, we always start our show with a prayer. So let's bow as we can. Lord, you're a powerful, merciful, living God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry, our audience, and all that are serving you. And we know that Q Leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name, we honor you today by doing two things: giving you the glory and serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word says in Romans 12:2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, please use our ministry to complete that purpose, to align, equip, and transform some new leaders for your glory. Help us hear the call, receive the call, and raise some new transformational leaders for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What to expect during our time? We like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. We try to equip leaders with a roadmap to tap in the faith and tap in that discipleship. And I try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's goodness and who are being transformational. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine some light and some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, provide a different lens in order to see things. It's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem. In a sense, it's treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open. And let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me and have the right questions. And no matter what the differences may be, remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinions, of course. But let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. And let's be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue. You know, as we kick off our show, I want to share this with some recent news about a person that we all have admired for a long time in some form or fashion. Our show is not to criticize, as I share, or even crucify someone in the public, in the court of public opinion, but I pray that the truth prevails in all allegations against the legend that is Bill Cosby. But we pray for healing, as well as, regardless of the outcome, let's pray for healing for all those involved, and regardless of what the truth lies, you know, what type of light would it shine on the impact of that a Cosby had on a generation like mine and like ours, Fat Albert to the Cosby Show, and even to his stand-up comedy. We still watch reruns. My girls and I, we love watching those shows. And there were not many that I knew growing up that didn't want to be a Cosby kid, if you remember, or did not want to be Claire or Claire Huxtable. That show influenced generations by showing us something different, by setting expectations for our kids, and he made it a normal thing to expect something from the future, to expect greatness, to expect to be able to move forward from one condition to the next. And it's amazing what having expectations will do for you, and how television, music, culture can shape us one way or another. And there's something else about watching the Cosby Show, what it did. It created a gateway for jazz. Cosby's contribution to jazz world and his love for that art was just simply amazing. For 8 years or so, Bill Cosby was really a jazz teacher for me, even though I never really took classes, but I paid attention at every, not realizing every Thursday, he taught us something about music. From hearing the constant phase, scat-like Ella Fitzgerald kind of drove me toward the, you know, that forever love of the First Lady of Song, if you will. The episode with Kenny, Rudy's friend singing the blues with B.B. King was classic. I knew already of Nancy Wilson already, who played Denise's mother-in-law, but when she sang Moody's Move for Love in the basement of the house, that was classic. The episode with Cliff serving apples to Claire planted a seed that would grow in some great expectations and love for Coltrane. I love John Coltrane. And also, who was also on that was Ellington's In a Sentimental Mood. And this is one of those classics I like to hear. All the way to the incomparable Lena Horne, who sang at Cliff's birthday party. And there was Sarah Vaughan, who was probably my favorite in how she interprets every song, if you ever heard her sing. And the probably one of the most famous episodes was with Rudy, where she lip-synced the rendition of Ray Charles' classic Nighttime is the Right Time. And I think we all can go back to, baby, right, to that time. And there are many, many, many types of jazz, and there's so many songs and so many elements that came through that show. But if you think about it, jazz isn't just jazz, right? You know, you got the ragtime, where it wasn't really about the improv form. It's really about a piano player and who keep the beat with his left, with his hand, and playing a melody with his right. And the Dixieland, what's also called Chicago jazz, would kind of transpire from musicians from New Orleans to Chicago in search for opportunities and less oppressive social conditions. And even the swing music of the 1935s and 45s, who marked a shift in jazz from improvisation to noted music and large ensembles at the big band music. And also, which they featured horns and reeds and minstrel, also percussions and so forth. Even what we all know, the bebop, which is developed after the swing era and really kind of shone a little bit the pop accessibility of the bebop, but it was already about the soloist. It's about the new style, and sometimes there was critics about how it lacked melody, but it all went through a phase. And you ran into that phase of the cool jazz into the 1950s and 60s and the West Coast, which is also called the West Coast jazz, which marked a return to the arrangements and retained elements of swing. It's the cool, you know, smoky room jazz, if you will. And the heart bop, which on went to 1950s and 60s, and which is really more simpler soulful melodies and looser rhythms and so forth. And then all this started coming together, as they would call it, fusion, the combination of rock music and other these musicians kind of had complex arrangements where there was really have some skillful arrangements, kind of collaborate and experiment on many things. That's our art. That's a history of jazz, if you will, even though not from an expert. It's more from reading and preparing for the show. But either style, listening to jazz moves you in many ways, and there are moments where jazz music is very expressive and powerful vehicle that points to a spiritual dimension in life. But some say that listening to secular jazz is a sin, or it shouldn't be played in churches and other places, and even, you know, jazz to some people a dirty word. One reason may be because it's widely used and found to be, you know, effective in environments where booze or drugs or anything else that may be used. But you know, you kind of think about it, you know, jazz means a lot of different things to different people. But, you know, at the end of the day, is the most prominent musician, though, if you kind of think about it, is in the Bible was King David. And as everyone knows, as we would say, King David would get down and before the Lord and even dance almost stark naked in the streets in front of everybody to the glory of the Lord. And if you take the time to read the book of Psalms, you discover that King David and the Hebrew people, they probably grooved a lot. But they grooved in 2 Samuel, if you think, while David and the whole house was bringing the ark of the Lord and shouting in the sound of trumpet. you know, really just really praising the God no matter what they were doing. But, you know, here's a man after God's own heart dancing in the street like what you would see in New Orleans jazz musicians parading down the road, down the street, in the French Quarter. So imagine that, though. Imagine that there's all types of music that has been fused to praise the Lord and honor God. But what happens when jazz and praising God kind of fuses together? I haven't seen or heard much of it in my life. But just imagine the trumpets, the harps, tambourines, and drums, and even the angels stirring the soul, if you will. And it sounds like jazz. It sounds like heaven. You know, which leads to our question of the day, is there jazz in heaven? Which helping us with that is a friend of On Cue, a friend of mine, Lindsay Benedict. She's a recording artist known as the Hunter's Wife, who has been entertaining him for nearly two decades, performing events, live music venues, churches, and more. She's from L.A., Lower Alabama, that is, and we will talk about her calling, her election to praise the Lord through her gifts of music, her ministry. We're going to play some of her music as well and talk about her new project. I can't wait to hear about a new project called Jazz in Heaven. How appropriate is that? So after the break, we'll start our talk with our special guest, Lindsay Benedict, who will answer our question of the day, is there jazz in heaven? So stay with us. Share your thoughts. You can't afford to miss this. We're taking the calls at 310-861-2331 to ask a question. Press 1 on your telephone, and we can raise your hand virtually, and we can bring you in. And as well as Kennedy is on the live chat room, so feel free to log in and talk with her on that. So during the break, we'll play Lindsay's one of her past songs, called Hunter's Wife. And this you're listening to On Cue, and this is Eric Powell, your host. We'll be right back.
I'm a hunter's wife. There's strange things in my freezer, right next to the frozen pizza. Laundry's piled with camouflage, got deer heads hanging on my walls. At the beauty shop. When I get home, he's busy cleaning, cutting up some turkey, fish, or venison. He puts good food on the table. Oh, baby, that's what I like. I'm a hunter's wife. If it ain't deer season, then it's duck season. Then comes turkey season. Forget to mention if it ain't turkey season, then he's gone fishing, then it's deer season again. Oh Lord, it never ends. Oh Lord, it never ends. I am a hunter's wife. Let me tell you what it's like to live a day in my life. While he's waiting on that perfect shot, it's ladies' night out at a restaurant. And when I get home, he's busy sleeping, dreaming about some turkey, fish, or venison. Puts good food on the table. Oh, baby, that's what I like. He's my man. I'm a hunter's wife.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Power. My mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his purpose on your life. So today's question, is there jazz in heaven? Helping us with that is you. So please call us at 310-861-2331. And also helping us with that is Lindsay Benedict, who you just heard in Hunter's Wife. She was a recording artist who's been entertaining for nearly two decades and performing events, live music venues, and churches and more. As I shared before the break, she is from L.A., Lower Alabama. We're going to talk about her calling, her ministry, and all that she's doing, especially her new project. So let's give a virtual applause for Ms. Lindsay Benedict. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. You know, I get a big smile on my face every time I hear that song. You know, just kind of takes me back. I think every person in the South can really resonate with that song, right?
Yeah, it's just a song that I wrote about, you know, what I'm out doing while my husband is hunting. And,
I get it. Really do. Thanks for again for sharing and being with us tonight. You know, as I always start the show, and those who was not on earlier this year when you were on, I just want to kind of get everyone to know you a little bit. And I want to start with the same two questions. Is the first one is what is the one word that describes you?
Well, when you asked me this question earlier, I got to thinking about how I really like to know the meaning of people's names. For example, my son's name, his name is Joseph Charles Benedict, and his name means blessed leader man. Isn't that good? I bet you like that as
yes,
a
I
leadership
do. I do.
Teacher. So, you know, I see signs of him growing into that blessed leader man, and I pray, you know, that he'll be able to live up to his name. My name means beautiful friend. My middle name is Ruth, and Ruth means friend. Lindsay means beautiful, meaning a very high standard or excellent. And I really think that fits me because relationships are really important to me in life, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's family, my son's school, or performing, church, whatever it may be. I want to be an encouragement to people. I truly want to be a good friend to anyone that I encounter. So hopefully I'm living up to my name.
Yeah, amen. I believe you are in so many different ways, right? You know, second question is maybe trivial, but I'm still going to ask it. You know, what if money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Well, one of my friends, he's actually my vocal coach, asked me this a couple of months ago. He said, if you had $50,000 right now to invest in your career, what would the dream be? So kind of the same question you're asking, and I just keep coming back to I want to travel the world writing and performing great music. That is what I really want to do. And along the way, hopefully I'll be able to make a living and give a lot. I want to be more and more of a generous person. For example, I produce a songwriter's night called Music City Song, and with every show that we do, we give as much of the love offering that we receive, as much as possible, we give to a local ministry here in Nashville. Or we've sponsored missionaries in Ukraine. We've helped an adoption agency, and I love that. I love doing what I love to do, making music, meeting songwriters, and, you know, being able to give back at the same time. So I would want to give a lot and travel a lot and make a lot of music.
Yeah, so a beautiful friend with relationships who like to give back. You know, how better can it be, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It is. So tell us a little bit more about Lindsay Benedict, just to let everyone who don't know you, new people to our show and don't know much about the Hunter's Wives. Share a little bit more.
Well, I'm definitely a Southern Belle. You can tell from my accent. I love living in the South. I'm in the Mid-South now in Nashville, but it's definitely still the South. We are here in the Bible Belt. I love living in the Bible Belt. Grew up in a Baptist church, just good Southern down-home traditions. But I guess I'm kind of a small-town girl with big-city dreams. I feel like I have diverse taste. I love to travel. I love all kinds of music. I love meeting all different kinds of people. I'm a ballroom dancer. Those are the main things I love to do. Also, mother, sister, wife, daughter, friend. You know, I love all of those relationships. And now that I'm living in Nashville, you know, just trying to live the dream. We moved here about 10 months ago. It was kind of unexpected, but God definitely led us here, so I'm excited.
Amen to that. You know, and you grew up in a small town, and you know, being you, sure you had some experiences while you were younger, just to kind of prepare you for being on stage and all that you do. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I come from a very musical family. If anybody from Greenville, Alabama is listening, they know my dad, Charles Kennedy, my mom, Margie, my sister, Christy. Well, we had a family quartet. We also had a family orchestra during Christmas time with my mom's side of the family. So I was immersed from a very young age. And if you know those little things you write when you're in grammar school, I want to be this when I grow up. Well, my mom kept one of those. It was called All About Me. And the question, I think it was in second grade, one of the questions was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wrote musician. And she showed me that a couple of years ago. I couldn't believe it. I didn't even recall ever writing that down, but it was in my heart from a young age. And I just love performing. It just makes me happy. I love to do it. And whether that was through musicals at school or at church or cheerleading, I was just really drawn to that type of thing. And I was also in pageants. That's kind of the big thing in the South.
Right.
So, you know, I did that a lot too. And all of that was great preparation for what is now, you know, a performance career. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just kind of think back all these little small things to kind of build you up to prepare you for what you're doing right now. It definitely resonates. You know, when you think about it, all of it connects to family and faith and fun and food in a lot of different ways. And it mostly starts with the family and church. And how important was family and church defining what you are today?
Oh, extremely. It's such a part of me. I come from a long line of ministers. Actually, my grandfather, my mother is a minister, my father, my aunts and uncles, and so that's had a huge influence on me for sure. I don't see how people survive these days without faith and church life there to support them. So that's definitely a big part of who I am.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so we had you on earlier this year. I think it's right after you moved to Nashville, and we talked about your album and the Benediction. But talk about what have you been doing since you got settled in Nashville?
Well, a lot of exciting things have happened. I've been writing a lot of music. I've been going out to open mic nights and songwriters nights, just trying to do the Nashville thing, see what it's all about. But about 2 years ago, I started performing a lot of jazz. And this past summer, since my last interview with you, I got to perform in New York at Birdland Jazz. I also performed a blues song. I also love blues as well here at B.B. King's in Nashville. That was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on the steering committee for a conference called Experience Conference. It's a worship conference in Orlando and in Dallas, out where you are, Eric.
Absolutely.
And I was really involved with that in September. I've been producing a songwriter's night, and but my biggest project right now is a new jazz record, my first jazz record.
First jazz record. So tell us about what's the name of it?
Jazz is Heaven.
Jazz is Heaven. You know, this is
great.
Can
I get an amen?
Amen. You know, it is part of our topic here, right?
That's right.
Exactly. So tell us about Jazz is Heaven.
Well, first I just want to say I am raising the funds for this project on Kickstarter.
Sure,
and
sure.
So right now, through the show and an hour after the show, if you make a $25 pledge or more to my Kickstarter campaign, you'll receive a reward. The normal $25 reward is a copy of Jazz is Heaven and the digital download. But tonight, with a minimum of a $25 donation, I'll actually give you the $85 reward on my Kickstarter campaign, which is called The Benediction. And
okay.
That includes a copy of my CD called Benediction, which is contemporary Christian music. There's also a devotional that comes along with that called The Benediction, Stories Behind the Songs. And then you'll get 5 copies of Jazz is Heaven. That's only for a $25 pledge. So I'm really doing this in an effort to try to meet 25% of my goal by tomorrow night.
Okay, well, great. So please log in to Kickstarter. How do they get to it tonight?
It's real
Lindy?
Simple, yeah. If you just go to Kickstarter.com, when you're on their homepage, you see a little section at the top that says Discover. All you have to do is type in Jazz is Heaven there or type in my name, Lindy Benedict, and it'll bring up my project and just go from there.
Okay, great. And it's also on the link to our On Cue Facebook page, and as well as the invitation that everyone listening got a chance to. So you can take that, you can click that link and take you directly to it as well. So Lindsay, so please go out, everyone, go out and check out her campaign and support her, and let's see if we can get her to that $2,500 a level tonight. So Lindsay, just quickly tell everyone how does Kickstarter work for those who is new to?
Well, Kickstarter is a website for something called crowdfunding. It's kind of a new word. It's basically a website for everything from films to games, music and art, technology, and it's full of projects, big and small, that are brought to life through support of people who log in, go to a certain person's project, and make a pledge. But the great thing is, through that pledge, you receive a donation. So it's a way for that musician or that graphic designer or that technology person, whoever it might be, for their creative campaign to get a lot of exposure, but to also give back. You're donating and getting something in return. So Kickstarter has been around for quite a while now. I've got some statistics here. Since their launch in 2009, 7.4 million people have pledged $1 billion, funding 73,000 creative projects. So
wow.
Now I'm just one of thousands
sure.
on there currently.
Sure. Absolutely. So please go out, support Lindsay, and become a beautiful friend who's giving back, right, as she is. Let's do
yeah.
that. Let's do first tonight. So it's kind of like a telethon, right, in a lot of different ways. So please go out, and she's offered up an outstanding reward for $25. She's given the $85 reward and for the pledge. So please go out and support her. And also the also you get the awesome record from the Benediction. So this would be great. So part of this too is not only talk about the campaign but also showcase some of Lindsay's work. And so we're going to go into a break, but we want to give everyone a flavor of your jazz vocals, right? And what we're going to come up, we're going to play the way you look tonight. Can you tell us a little bit about that before we go to the break, Lindsay?
I'd love to. When I lived in Tallahassee not long ago, I got to sing with a big band. That is one of my favorite forms of jazz. And The Way You Look Tonight is a great big band tune, big band, 25-piece band, lots of horns and a rhythm section. And I was one of their lead singers. And so what you're about to hear is a live recording of one of the biggest concerts that they do every year for about 500 teenagers at the FSU Jazz Camp.
Absolutely. So stay with us. After the break, we'll continue our dialogue with our special guest, Lindsay Benedict, who's helping to answer the question, is there jazz in heaven? So call us at 310-861-2331. So this is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back, and here is The Way You Look Tonight.
Bye.
Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his purpose on your life. So today's question, is there jazz in heaven? Helping us with that is you. So call us at 310-861-2331. Also helping us with that is our special guest who you just heard in her rendition of The Way You Look Tonight, Lindsay Benedict. Lindsay, thanks for staying with us.
Glad to be here.
Hey, well, thanks. You know, Lindsay, you've done a lot of music and variety of venues and performances, but simply, why jazz?
Good question. I'm glad you asked that. Jazz just makes me happy. If people were just listening to that tune, The Way You Look Tonight, if your foot wasn't tapping, if it didn't put a smile on your face, then God help you, because jazz just makes me feel good. And also, I've discovered that my voice is well suited for jazz and blues. I've done pop music before, in traditional and classical. I've done country, but I just find that my voice is best suited for jazz and blues. And jazz is very diverse. You gave a great synopsis earlier of how jazz has grown and developed over the years, but there's so many different types of jazz.
Right.
And I absolutely love the tribute you did to The Cosby Show. That was my favorite show when I was a kid, and you helped me realize that it was partly because of the jazz music that he introduced. But I would always watch that and Family Ties. Do you remember those two that were back-to-back?
Absolutely, absolutely.
On Thursday nights.
Great, good family shows. You're exactly right, and it just kind of sticks in your mind. It's amazing. My kids still love that show now when it comes on. So
yeah, I do too.
You know, you bring up a great point about the different phases, different types of jazz. You know, what's true in what we hear, what I see, and what I've heard, what I love is the whole improvisation of it, right? Where, you know, when you look at the heart of it, kind of allows you to communicate in your own style. In lots of ways, it's like a call and response, what you hear in church lots of times, right? And so within that call, you got an inspiration. And, you know, what is your inspiration, in a sense, as you create your own jazz music?
Well, I just have to say, I think I was born in the wrong era. I'm really convinced I was supposed to be a 1940s jazz singer.
Okay, got it. I can see that.
Yeah. I love the glamorous aspect of that. You see pictures of Ella Fitzgerald and later on Peggy Lee and just different, Rosemary Clooney. Love Rosemary Clooney. So That very glamorous, romantic, classy jazz singer is what I'm drawn to. I love Ella. I love the Glenn Miller Orchestra. But some current artists that I really love as well are Diana Krall and then Michael Bublé, you know, just the classics that he does.
Absolutely. You know, when you think about you know, sometimes you do look at the whole glamour of it and you wish you were back in the Cotton Club or something in that time at some years ago, right? But I definitely can.
Yeah.
But let's think about this music. It continues to live on, and you can make it your own in a lot of different ways. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, the other part of this whole improvisation is the response portion of, you know, it's really in a sense you come to that together collectively, right? And to one playing style, and you got to be able to follow it, right? And it kind of creates something new and fruitful. And it's amazing to me is many times I've heard a rendition of a song or even from the same band. It's never done the same ever.
So, I know,
so
isn't that
it's
awesome?
Always a unique flavor with that. So how tough is it? Is it tough for you to try to do the same thing, or you just go with the music and go with what the flavor is sharing with you?
Well, of course, with any genre of music, the more you perform, the better you're going to get. It's just like practicing anything in life. So when I got to sing with the big band, that was great experience, being able to sing those big band classic tunes. But then I've sung with some jazz combos as well, where it's a little bit more intimate, where, yeah, you do play off each other. You know, the piano player takes a solo, then the drummer, and then the vocalist gets to scat, you know,
right.
or the call and response. The trumpet player will, you know, do something, then the vocalist comes in. And it is kind of an adventure. I do love that about it. And some of the jazz vocal coaching I've received, a lot of it's about phrasing. You're not just singing it straight. You are making it your own, whether you have an early entry or a late entry, or you're making it really legato, or you're making it chop, chop, chop like that. You know, there's just so many hundreds of different styles of phrasing, and that's huge in jazz.
Yeah, just making it your own, bringing yourself, right? That's essentially what you're doing. You know.
Yeah.
The other part is you know, I'm not a teacher in this, but like I said, it's just more. We talked about improvisation. Other pieces is the blue notes. They call it the worry notes, and essentially something that's is saying flat. Can you explain that flat note in a sense for us, especially somebody like me, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Or give us an example.
Well, I think in just a few minutes you're going to play another one of my tunes. I've done my own version of Feeling Good, and it's in the key of G minor. So let's simplify that, and when we're talking about the major chord of G, if you're playing that, the three notes are going to be G, B, and D. If you're on the piano, those are all white notes. So picture yourself playing G, B, and D, all three white notes. But if you want to make that G minor, you take that B in the middle and you make it B flat. So you move it down a half step and it becomes a black note. So white, black, white, G, B flat, D, you've got G minor.
Okay.
I tell my piano students, I play a G major chord. It sounds happy. You take a G minor, it immediately sounds mysterious or dramatic or even spooky, some of my kids might say.
Okay.
And that's what those blue notes do. They just take a regular kind of plain vanilla chord and they make it interesting. And so that's what plucks your heartstrings when you hear a jazz tune, all those blue notes in there, those minor chords and such. That's just one part of jazz that's so amazing.
Wow, you know, you've really helped me tonight. I feel like I'm ready now to know more about music theory.
Well, good. Right? Yeah, there you go.
So, how is jazz different from anything you've done, though? Right, it's got to be a shift in how you go about or prepare things, or is it or not?
Definitely. Wow, that's such a good question. Well, for about 20 years, I've performed a lot of pop and traditional music in the church, which there's a lot of great music that's been done and that's still out there. But to me, jazz is a lot more diverse in the sense that you've got all different styles of jazz. You've got all the different elements of it that you can bring to the table. It can be very fresh and improvisational. It's just, I heard someone refer to blues in this way, and I believe the same thing with jazz, that he said blues equals freedom. It's like if you've ever been around a bunch of blues music fans, man, they just go nuts. All you have to do is sing, "They call it Stormy Monday," and they go, "Wah!" You know, they go nuts. I mean, people just get so excited. And all jazz fans that I've met feel the same way. It just makes you feel good. It draws you in. So I've really had to, as a performer, I've had to get more out there. I've had to get more expressive. I've had to take my pop voice and make it into a jazz voice. It's a different way of singing. So it's a lot different than what I've typically done, but I love that for that reason. It challenges me, it keeps me interested, and makes me want to keep moving forward with my career.
Right. So it is something new, and once I saw it, I said, well, yeah, that will work. You know, jazz, is heaven. You know, the other part of that is a technical word I'm going to use here is syncopation. I imagine it's more for syncing the rhythms and so forth, the patterns, right? And, you know, when we hear, I also saw that it's really about appears in jazz when the rhythms are kind of put together, and you heard it say, we've heard the saying, it doesn't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. Tell us about that saying. What do people mean about it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing, right?
I couldn't agree more. I just give a big amen to that. Yeah, I mean, it's the swing music, you know, that's one type of jazz. And it's really a lot about the rhythm there. A lot of the big band music with swing, it just makes you want to dance. But yeah, it is very syncopated. Especially you can really hear it when you, if somebody went into a jazz solo, or excuse me, a drum solo, the jazz drummer, goodness gracious, they're so good. They've got crazy rhythm patterns that they play, and I just absolutely love it. It's rock and roll and pop is like on the 2 and 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, it's just kind of straightforward, and that has a great vibe to it too. I love rock, but the jazz rhythms can really be very complex.
Wow. So yeah, you're still educating me. So I feel like I'm going to teach a class. So, but you know, you shared though, you know, you just shared something about earlier about different genres you should use in the church and the different rhythms of pop or rock and how it kind of merges together from a Christian music. You know, many people associate that and others jazz as secular, if you will, or sinful. But at the end of the day, though, we all know if it's about praise and Lord, whatever the tunes you use. But how has that been received from your fans and people that you know of how you merging these two together?
So far, so good, I think. There are a few tunes, jazz tunes, that I've done in churches. But it was just recently when my jazz world and my worship world started to merge together, and that's a whole story in and of itself. But I basically began to love jazz more and more, but still, you know, didn't want to just completely let go of church music. So I thought, how can these worlds come together? And I was exposed to an artist named Denver Bierman. He has a band called Denver and the Mile High Orchestra, and they're a great example of church music and jazz coming together. He's basically a Christian big band artist. But there's not a whole lot of us out there. So, you know, I'm kind of trying a new thing. It's a little bit risky, but I just decided I have to be true to myself and true to the artistry that I feel like is in me. And any other artist listening right now, I just encourage you to do that, to just move forward in what you feel and believe in your heart you should do with the guidance of God. And I really feel that when we do that and trust Him, He's going to show us every step of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So it got to be nervous for you, right? And excitement at the same
time. Yeah, definitely.
But you know, it's good that your feedback has been good, and the fact that you know, once you resonate, understand, people know your heart, know you as a beautiful friend, and always trying to share what the Lord has shared with you. So this is always probably an easier role than most if you hadn't already been doing that. You know, you mentioned earlier there's a moments of jazz where it has a spiritual dimension, and it makes you happy in a lot of different ways. And so we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to play on that happiness, and you're going to share with your tune of the Feeling Good Tonight. So, Lindsay, tell us a little bit about this tune as we go into the break.
This is one of my very favorite songs of all time. It's called Feeling Good, and it was written by two gentlemen for a musical many, many years ago. And then it was recorded by the amazing Nina Simone. Then it was covered by Michael Bublé several years back, who really brought it back to life again. And since then, many people have covered the amazing Jennifer Hudson did a great version. And this is a song I performed a lot as a solo at different fundraiser events, fashion shows, just a wide variety of events that I've gotten to perform this song. And every time I do, people just love it. It's just a great song. And so when I was ready to record my first jazz single, I had to do this song. It's called Feeling Good.
So Feeling Good. So after the break, we'll continue our conversation with our special guest, Lindsay Benedict, who's here to help her answer the question, is jazz in heaven? So call us at 310-861-2331. Press 1 on your telephone if you got a question. So we'd love to hear from you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back after Feeling Good tonight.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel.
Good friend, Lizzie Benedict, who you just heard feeling good tonight. And after that, you know, I think we're answering the question for ourselves after listening to that beautiful voice. Lindsay, thanks for staying with us.
I'm so glad to be with you tonight, Eric.
Great. You know, for those who just joined us, Lindsay is a recording artist who lives in the Nashville area. He's been entertaining for almost two decades, live events, music venues, and as well as churches and more, from Laurel, Alabama. And she has a calling around ministry, and she's got a new project, Jazz is Heaven. And so Lindsay, you gave everyone an opportunity, a great incentive at the beginning of the show, so I want you to give you a chance to talk about that again regarding your Kickstarter campaign. Can you share a little bit more?
Sure, I'd love to. When I knew that I wanted to record a jazz record, I wanted to do it right, and now that I'm here in Nashville, I can get a Nashville-quality record, as they call it, but they're not cheap. So the budget for this record that I'm recording is about $10,000, and unfortunately, I don't just have that sitting around like most people, I suppose. So I've decided to do a Kickstarter campaign, which is kind of the new way of fundraising. It's called crowdfunding, and Kickstarter is a website, kickstarter.com. When you go to kickstarter.com, under the Discover section, like right there at the top, you just type in Jazz is Heaven, which is the name of my record, or just type in Lindsay Benedict. And it's going to take you to my page where you can learn all about my project, what the plans are, what the budget is. But the fun part for people who donate, you can see what the rewards are. And I have a lot of really unique rewards, I think. For example, one, Eric, you'll like this, from a hunting family. My husband is going to give a guided turkey hunt here in Leapers Fork, Tennessee. Someone donated that. This is a $500 reward, but this hunt, the same type of hunt, sold at auction for $3,000 not long ago. So you're really getting a steal there. Also, my music and, you know, a concert with me is one of the rewards. But then there's also things like a guitar for Christmas, voice and piano lessons, graphic design. I do a little bit of that and website design on the side. So there's really a good variety of things. But you basically just choose your pledge amount, choose what reward you want, and then, you know, just use your credit card through Amazon to do the rest. It's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. So great gift. Oh, go ahead, Lindsay.
I'm sorry. I forgot to say the incentive, which is what you asked me to talk about. The $25 reward is my a copy of Jazz is Heaven CD and the digital download. But for tonight, if you donate a minimum of $25, I will also give you the $85 reward, which is called the Benediction. That includes my CD, Benediction, which is contemporary Christian music. It comes with the Benediction devotional, stories behind the songs, and you'll get five copies of Jazz is Heaven. So that's my gift to listeners tonight with a minimum $25 reward pledge.
Awesome. That's great. So that'll be available during our show and then an hour after the show. That's correct, Lindsay?
That's correct. You'll just put in a $25 donation. It won't specifically tell you also received the benediction, but I'm going to be looking at the timestamp on the donations that come in tonight.
Sure. Great. So please help support Lindsay's project here of Jazz is Heaven. But Lindsay, you know, if I'm someone just new to you and why should I help fund your project?
Well, I would like to give you the top 10 reasons why you should fund my project.
Sure.
Number one, you're a jazz lover. Number two, you see the potential this record has to make exciting things happen. Number three, you want a guitar for Christmas. That's one of the rewards. Number four, you're a fellow musician and you want to help. Or number five, you know me personally and you want to help. Number six, you want to take voice or piano lessons with me. That's another one of the rewards. Number seven, you're my mom, and you have to give. Hi, Mom, if you're listening.
I love it.
Number 8, you're a Lindsay Benedict fan. Thank you for that. Number 9, you've been blessed financially and love to give. Or number 10, you want a Jazz is Heaven CD. So those are just funny top 10 reasons to give. But I hope that in your heart you sense that, you know, I'm onto something good here, a God-given plan that is beyond me. I love it when God, it's hard, but I do love it when God puts something in your life that is beyond what you can accomplish on your own. And so you can be a part of a creative process that's God-sized. And I love to be a part of things like that. Personally.
Yes, but something beyond ourselves. So everybody, please go out and check out Lindsay's site, donate, and if you win the Got It Turkey Hunt, give it to me. So I'm just kidding.
Well, you can go get it right now, Eric.
I know. I'll get out there. Susan's got an hour after the show, so I get out there and put a pledge out for Lindsay. So please go out and support this beautiful friend who's always giving back, and this is her gift or her calling and election from the Lord in so many different ways. And I think on the webpage it'll show you where the pledges would go and what's in it for you and really how to contribute at the end of the day, right? So there's several ways you can contribute. Through credit card, I think that's probably the easiest way. Is that correct, Lindsay?
Yeah, through Kickstarter, they do require all pledges to be via credit card.
Sure.
I have 30 days to raise $10,000, which is my goal. I'm almost 25% of the way there, and I'm only 6 days in, so I'm pretty stoked about that. But
okay.
I'd love to get to 25% by tomorrow night if you guys can help me.
Great. So, but is it one of those where you got to raise the entire 10 to get the 10, or is a portion?
Yeah. It's one of those all or nothing models. There's good reasons for doing it that way, that Kickstarter does for all of their projects. But yeah, I have 23 more days to raise the remaining portion. So I'm going to be pretty busy getting the word out over these next 23 days.
Absolutely. So it's all or nothing. So let's help this beautiful friend who's always giving back and with her new project, Jazz is Heaven. You know, Lindsay, it's a question that we've all asked ourselves or asked someone, and even as an adult and as a child, can you imagine heaven?
I can. Something interesting happened to me one day when I was driving home from Disney World. I had just been given a free ticket to go to Disney World. This was, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And I was just on my way home. I was praying. I was thanking God for the amazing gift that I got to go to Disney for free. And do you have those moments, Eric, where you just feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he puts something in your heart? You don't hear that audible voice, but I just felt like the Spirit said to me, well, if you like Disney World, wait till you see heaven. And I was like,
yeah.
Whoa, you know, who said that sort of thing? But I'll just never forget that. And so now when I think of heaven, I just think of this amazing place that's better than Disney World. It's just this fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be different and exciting, and things there that we're going to see we've never seen before. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be happy. I personally can't wait to get there. I mean, I know we kind of get a little bit in fear when we think about death, because death is the passageway. You know, that has to occur before we go on there. But I personally get excited when I start to think about it.
Absolutely. So I do as well, and I understand about the Holy Spirit moving you, and it gets in your heart, and it doesn't leave in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So the question is, my question of the day is Jazz in heaven? I'm just going to throw that out there, right?
Well, of course, I don't know. You know, what I'm about to say, I'm not basing on scripture.
Sure.
I sure hope so. I just, you know, when I think about heaven, I just wonder if all the things we love here on earth that God has given us, because his word says that everything in heaven and on earth is his. So
right.
Jazz is his. Chocolate is his. Family members are his. Money, whatever is in your life, that favorite pair of shoes, ladies or guys, that football team that you love, you know, it's all God's. And so I can't help but think all these things that we love, perhaps we're going to see those in heaven in some way as well. I don't know, but I sure hope so.
You sure hope so. You know, same here. You're exactly right. Everything is his. And if we take that approach and we're knowing that everything that we're doing, especially what you're doing here, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. And it's about sharing the gospel, sharing his love, and really impacting a generation of people by praising him. And I just always commend you for that, and not only now, but in the future as well. You know, when we think about your project in so many ways, what other ways can we, our audience, support what you're doing in any other way outside of Kickstarter?
That's a great question. Well, once the record is complete and Jazz's Heaven is sent out to folks that have contributed to Kickstarter, it's just the beginning for me, really. I'll use the recordings and that record to try to book shows. I'm kind of highly experimental right now. I'm telling people that I'm choosing songs that I feel like could be done in a church or in a non-church venue. I've performed in a wide variety of venues, whether it's church or a jazz club or a wedding or, you know, just a wide variety of things. So once I've got the record, it's just the beginning of trying to get shows. So if you book jazz bands or just need great entertainment for an event, keep me in mind. Also, if you are a pastor or a worship leader or just really involved in your church and you could mention me as a potentially, you know, hosting me in concert at your church, that would be amazing. What you can do right now, this very minute, is share my Jazz is Heaven link on your own Facebook page or Twitter account, or maybe send out an email. The key to success of funding this Kickstarter campaign is the more people that see it, the better. So looking at my Kickstarter page right now, I've got about 21 shares. If you could go to Kickstarter right now and type in Jazz is Heaven, it'll pull up my project, and you'll see a share button and a tweet button. You could just go click those right now. But just telling people, just telling people about it and keeping me in mind for future events.
You know, you just said something that I want you to expound on just a little bit. So you're picking songs that you can play in church and in non-church venues. Share with us why that's important.
I am the kind of person, I want to be who I am no matter who I'm with. Kind of what you see is what you get. So if I'm hanging out with people that I go to church with, I'm being myself with them. Or if I'm hanging out with folks that I don't know whether they go to church, you know, I may not know what their spiritual condition is, but I just like to be myself no matter who I'm with, and I like to be around a wide variety of people. I think sometimes as Christians, and I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody, we kind of stay in our little church bubble sometimes, and we have to get out of that. Jesus did that. You know, he was criticized for dining with the prostitutes. I almost said Protestants. Excuse me. He was criticized for dining with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Well, you know, maybe I ought to be accused of that. I wonder that myself sometime. I really need to put myself out there. And so that's one of my goals in life, is to always be surrounded by a wide variety of people. And so as a performer, I want to do that too. I don't want to have to cookie cutter my show to fit the venue. Now, the reality is sometimes you have to do that, but I've spent hours and hours of time looking through songs that could cross over, so to speak. Like when I sing Feeling Good at a church, instead of singing Feeling Good, I replace that lyric with God is good. And it totally works. I would not do that at a straight up jazz club, but I feel like the Spirit of God is still behind that song for me. That song ministers to me. The song lyric towards the end says, freedom is mine and I know how I feel. Woo! I mean, isn't that good? Like, who the Spirit sets free is free indeed. So I feel like I can impart God things through that song. Another one that I chose is a jazz standard called Wade in the Water, but it was originally a spiritual.
Yep.
Written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It's so old, it's in the public domain. I love that song, but for whatever reason, over time, it's become a jazz standard, recorded by big bands, recorded by Eva Cassidy, who is an amazing artist. So that's a tune, no matter where I am, you know, I can do that one. So those are a few samples.
Yeah, I definitely, thanks for that, Lindsay, because it is tough to compromise what Lord has provided and wanting you to do. I go into it every time where, just to not make this about me, but I get it where a corporation asked me if I would have changed just this on my leadership curriculum, they're hiring me. And it's so tough for me to do, and I haven't done it yet. And maybe you call me foolish, but I just can't do it. but
I understand.
But maybe the Lord would lead me down the path if he wants me to do that, but I can't do that at this point. But you're right. It is. You bring in yourself, I want to be the same no matter where I am, if I'm in church or with my corporate friends or whomever along the way. And it's so, life is so much easier when you do that. You just bring yourself. So how do people find you outside of your Kickstarter page and website, other events and other things? How to keep a track with you?
Well, the best place to start is lindsaybenedict.com, because there on my homepage, you will see my Facebook and Twitter links, my main social networking things there. You'll also see a link how to get to Kickstarter. But if you browse through the website, it's all there. You can hear Feeling Good again on my music tab. You can go to the contact page and send me your email, and I'll put it on my newsletter that goes out maybe once a quarter to keep you informed of things that I've been doing.
Awesome, awesome. So let's go out to lindsaybenedict.com, which is a good start, and not only gives you access to what she's doing and what she has done, but also, you know, the Kickstarter campaign as well as other social media things that she's doing. You know, Lindsay, I know time flies when we're really having a great conversation and also kind of showcasing what you're doing for the Lord. But, you know, at the end of the day, though, you know, you're doing so much and ask people to support you, but what can we be in prayer with you about?
Well, of course, the main thing on my mind right now that I pray about daily is, God, would you please help me meet this funding goal? And I don't want that to seem like a selfish prayer, but I really feel like God has led me to this point. And if I can share a little bit of how he's provided, I'd love for people to hear this, because God is so good. And I think sometimes we see the bad that might be going on in our life, or especially in our world, and we might lose sight of that. But he is so good, and he's blessed me so much already. First of all, just being able to move to Nashville was a dream come true that just came out of the blue when I was least expecting it. So once that happened, before I even moved here, I started meeting jazz people. And
okay.
I got here, I already kind of knew who my producer was going to be. By the way, my producer is going to be two members of the band named Salvador. If you've listened to Christian music, you've possibly heard some of their tunes. They're so, so good. So I get to work with great musicians, great producers. But I knew one of the members of Salvador. I met him last December at a concert that I went to. Not even a clue he would be my producer, but isn't that cool, you know, before I even moved to Nashville. So I was meeting those people. And then once I started moving forward with plans to record the record, I knew that I had to raise about $1,500 to $2,000 to record the first song. And I raised that in about a week. It just, you know, abundantly, supernaturally came in just through reaching out to some people. And so once I recorded the first record, got the money for the first song, a couple months later, I won a photo shoot. You know, as an artist, you have to have current photos, they have to be good quality. You need them for your record cover, your CD cover and such, and I won a photo shoot. So, of course, being the glamour queen, I guess you could say I am, I had to have the right dress for the photo shoot. But being on an extremely tight budget, you know, just having moved here, I'm out going to Goodwill trying to find somebody who doesn't want that evening gown anymore, and they've put it on the Goodwill shelf. I've found some amazing things that way, but that day I was shopping, I just wasn't finding it. So I ended up going to one of the top-of-the-line dress shops in Nashville called Glitz. And okay. Eric, when I walked in there, I said, they said, "Hi, how are you? Can we help you?" They're extremely helpful. And I said, "Well, I have a photo shoot coming up. Can you show me your sale rack? You might have something that I could possibly afford." They said, "Oh, you're doing a photo shoot? Well, we'll let you borrow two dresses."
Wow.
I wanted to jump up and down right there in the store. I wore gowns that were $1,000 each in my photo shoot. Didn't pay a dime for them.
Amazing.
And then, I could go on and on about different things like that have just fallen into place. And so now I'm really stretching my faith, believing that I'm going to meet this funding goal. So everything's kind of pointing towards that.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he's making a way in so many ways. People, provisions, just equipping. You've already been prepared for this entire life. But you'll put things in your way, and you just got to know it and recognize it. And that's amazing. I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise you at all. You know, and so when we're on the funding goal, outside of the funding, we'll definitely virtually agree with you on that. Anything else outside of that we need to make sure we keep in prayer on?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, I was praying something the other morning during my devotional time. Some of you guys out there might be reading the same book I am called Jesus Calling. Mm-hmm. And I try to have my devotion every morning in prayer time before I even get out of bed, because if I don't, I'm very less likely to stop and pray and read the word that day. So I try to do it before I've even gotten out of the bed. And that morning I woke up and I guess I was just feeling a little tossed to and fro with all the things that I have going on. And sometimes I have that musician ADD, and all the musicians that are listening right now are probably laughing, because being the creative type, you're like, ooh, something shiny over here, I want to go try that. And ooh, I love that, I want to try some of that. And so I have to just kind of continually focus myself in. And I really sense that right now, that I need to stay on a clear and direct path, and I need to keep moving forward no matter, you know, what might try to distract me. And so I prayed, "God, would you please just lead me on a straight path towards your good plan that you talk about in your word in Jeremiah 29:11. I know a lot of people can quote this verse, but I come back to it every once in a while, that he has a good plan to prosper us, to bring us hope in a future. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves of that. So I want to stay on a straight path towards that good plan and not get distracted. And wouldn't you know that after I prayed, Lord, keep me on a straight path, I opened my Jesus calling, and that day the scripture reading was Psalm 27, and verse 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, lead me in a straight path.
Wow.
Yes.
How awesome
that was
is that,
like an immediate right? answer to prayer. Yeah, it was so awesome that God was like, yeah, your answer is yes, I've got you on a straight path. So I just want to stay on there. So if y'all can pray for me on that, I really appreciate it.
You know, that is awesome. We're going to virtually agree on those. Keep her on the straight path to her goal, to what the Lord's going to use this artistry to do in so many different ways. And again, to her point, it doesn't end after the goal has been raised. So go out. Let's support Lindsay here. And we're going to touch agree and that the Lord keeps you on the straight path. And you know, with that, though, you know, no curvy roads, which kind of leads into our your last song with us that you shared in
yeah.
Route 66. Tell us about that.
Route 66 is just a great classic song. It's been done in a variety of genres, pop and rock. But what you're about to play is another great big band arrangement of this song. Big bands perform a lot at social dances, and I'm a ballroom dancer, and that's another reason why I love big band dance, because it's perfect for ballroom dancing. And I performed this song at Westminster Oaks with the Thursday Night Music Club in Tallahassee for a senior citizens social dance, and it was so fun. We just have the best time doing those kinds of gigs, and you know, when you hear this one, it's going to make you want to dance. So everybody get up and dance.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. Hey, Lindsay, thank you. Thank you for taking the time out today and sharing with your great project. Jazz is Heaven. So people, please go out to our link on our website, and as well as on our Facebook, to connect with Lindsay, support her and her Kickstarter program, or go to lindsaybenedict.com, and it will share, give you all what you need to do and support her and her efforts. And Lindsay, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. That's Lindsay Benedict. And so we're going to go into a quick break with her song, Route 66, and we'll be right back after that. Jazz in Heaven. Our special guest, Lindsay Benedict, who is a recording artist who has been recording and performing for the last couple of decades, was on with us tonight and gave us a great background and information on her new project around Jazz is Heaven. So if you get a chance, please go out and support her in her Kickstarter program in order to fund her new jazz album and praising God and all that she does. So before we go, we want to give her thanks for that and all for you tuning in and also helping our ministry to get on. And, of course, we hope that our ministry is helpful for you, and we'll always love to have your feedback. I have asked a few of you, so put us on your prayer list as always. Like us on Facebook on OnQ Radio. Follow us on Twitter as well. Invite a friend, listen to the show. And then also this last week and this week's show, your church leader on and off the field and the community, no matter where you are, if you want to consider us as your leadership tool, as a partner in order to raise and create some new transformational leaders. My book's coming out next month. It's going to be next month, but continue to push it back. It's all on me. It's called Leader in the Mirror, so we will look for that in the stores fairly soon. And we'll give honor to praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank those who are tuned in. My producer, assistant, who's usually doing this, her voice is gone, but I thank her for continuing to be constant in what we're doing. My better half, my wife and my older daughter, Carson, and some friends and family in life and Facebook. And we kind of dedicate this show to those veterans who served us this week. And but before we go, I wanted to really make sure we answer the question, is there jazz in heaven? Of course, as Lindsay pointed, we don't know. And we don't even try to say what's there, but we do know that it is there. And as the Word tells us in the Bible, there's three heavens. The first, the heaven, is what we call what's in the sky that covers the earth and the realm of the birds and clouds, the kind of surrounds up in the earth. The second one is where the stars and the suns and the moons reside, and beyond space, beyond the earth, and it covers the entire universe in essence. And then is there jazz in that heaven? Yeah, I would love to believe so, especially if it honors God. No matter, one way to think about it is there's nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes tells us, and I would say that goes for jazz as well. But that third heaven is unseen as the residence of the Lord, including Jesus Christ, and this is the location of the throne of God, as the Word tells us, where the holy angels surrounding his throne were singing day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord our God." In Revelations 5:9, it tells us they will sing with a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain by your blood, you ransomed people for God, for every tribe and language and people of this nation." Imagine that feeling during this time, as we shared how things sync up together, this syncopation and call and response. Imagine the power and the love in that new song. And can you imagine the feeling, regardless if it's jazz or rap or gospel, that song will be glorifying God in all his majesty. And we have to hear, if you've ever heard a love song kind of reach your soul, and not the one that kind of stirs you from the fleshy perspective, but stirs your spirit as jazz would do and other songs would do, especially when you're praising the Lord. You know, we started the show talking about how the Cosby Show used jazz to influence generations. And there was one improvised song on one of the episodes that kind of stirred me, and it still stirs me to this day, when Claire sang with her father playing the jazz singer Joe Williams. The song kind of sums up Revelations 5:9 for me. The Lord is telling us that Christ paid the ransom for us, and because of his love for us, and he also could be telling us that we belong together. So with that, to next week, we're going to take out what we belong together.